This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, the only thing we're missing in that opening is West Oceanside Automotive and Transmission.
That is true.
I'm trying to get Brendan to fix this, but, you know, it's all good. Close that door, Paul. That way we can see Brendan when he's beating on the window. There's multiple doors here in the studio. When you open the one door to the producer room, it blocks the window to the other producer room. So, and we like Brendan feeling like he's in a fish tank, so we want to see through the window.
Yeah, I was looking through the wrong window. I was like, where's Brendan?
when Nemo swims by.
Yeah.
Anyway, so all good. Folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. We're following up behind good old Garden Talk. As always, hope you all are started into a wonderful 4th of July weekend. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful one here in San Diego.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, weather looks amazing, so we'll be nice. Probably better than Memorial Day. Memorial Day is always like cloudy here and stuff.
Yeah.
I always try to take off if I can get away, go out to like Palm Desert and that though. La Quinta is beautiful like Memorial Day weekend. Like
it's
the sun's
starting to get
out.
Hot there though at that time.
It's just starting though.
Yeah.
But here it's cold and overcast, it's usually true. Cloudy. Yeah. So, yeah. No, it's usually at, you know, mid to high 80s out there about that time of year, which is fine. Coming now in July, you don't want to go out there. It's probably 110 out there during the day.
Oh, yeah. It gets a little warm.
So a little warm on your car, a little warm on you, but all good stuff. No, out there, spring and fall time is a really nice time to catch some good sun and temperatures for sure.
Yeah.
Versus anyway. So I hope everybody's doing something fun for 4th of July weekend. You know, when you got your hoopty all serviced before rolling up on the weekend here. Like us, the West Automotive Group, like a lot of people, you know, I've been talking to a bunch of people like, we're open on Monday and then of course closed on Tuesday for the holiday. So looking forward to that. Probably going to make it down to San Diego this year. They do that, the big bang boom thing, you know, the fireworks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's always a cool place to go see fireworks on the 4th of July weekend. Good stuff for sure. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170, anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about. Today we're talking about, keeping your vehicle on the road. So, important stuff here.
Was that alignment, keeping it on the road?
No.
Like straight?
Well, that's helpful too.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't mention this to you. I don't know what was going on. So I went to, I have a fast track thing. Mm-hmm. So I went to get on the fast track there, up off of, Via Rancho Parkway, up in Escondido this morning. And there was a guy facing the wrong way, had entered but had ran into the wall and a wheel was off his car. Oh, I was like, and then here come the highway patrol doing it. I'm like, oh, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
So, but watch these people. You never know. So what he did, I don't know how he got to where he was, but so you turn left and you obviously have to stay to the right of the barrier as you enter the fast track or the, you know, carpool lane, whatever you want to call it. He went to the left of the barrier and then went far left and slammed into the wall.
Jeez.
So I don't know how who knows? Maybe they were chasing him from the other direction. He ended up, they weren't there to him though. He was just in the car still. So it was like it just happened. Of course, me, I'm just like, I'm going, I'm out of here. I'm done. So anyway, but that's an extremely dangerous thing to have happen. Somebody entered the freeway going the wrong direction.
Yeah, so. You're just not ready for that. You're not thinking someone's coming for you. Like
no.
That.
No, I think, you know what I think they should do is on those off-ramps, put the spikes that if you go the wrong way, blows all your tires.
Yeah.
you know? So if you were coming off, you'd go right over it fine. You know, just like coming out of a parking garage, right?
Yeah.
You drive over to leave, but to pull in, if you go the wrong way,
yeah, you don't see those much anymore.
No, it used to be. But those some version of that would be great for going entering a freeway the wrong way. You know, then it just...
Yeah.
Because you can't go really fast if it blows all four of your tires.
That's true. you can go real fast sideways.
It slows you down really fast. That's the only thing it does fast. You can't come to a stop. But that can be seriously dangerous. You know, there's been many times people have done that and hit somebody head on at that speed, and it usually, you know, takes the life of the people that are in the car doing the wrong thing, and the innocent people that just didn't see it coming until they looked up and there's a car right in front of them going directly at them.
Yeah.
So always a scary thing.
On a slightly separate note, you know, like in rural areas, like really, really farm areas, they have like metal grades on the, before you enter in the highway. On
those
the
are cattle guards.
Exactly. I was gonna ask you, did you know what those are for? And then,
do you know you don't even need the metal grade? You can paint white lines on there.
The cattle will ignore.
Like, they think it's holes and they're scared of it. That's why they don't. That's why they won't walk on a grate.
I did not know that. The white lines will make them think that there's.
Yeah, if you paint it like a grate. Yeah, they do that too.
Okay.
They usually won't cross those either.
Interesting. It's too,
They're not the smartest animals in the world.
I mean, you can't lead them upstairs or whatever the saying is. I forgot. You
know, what?
You can't lead a cow.
Who'd want to take a cow upstairs? What's wrong with you?
No, it's supposed to be like you can't lead a cow to fetch water.
You can't lead a horse to water.
There's a cow one too.
No, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's the saying.
Yeah, well, I know that one, but there's one about cattle where you can't lead them upstairs because that's too much weight or something. And it's supposed to, you know, relate back into life.
Okay, you're going to need to Google that. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard that. And whatever you find is going to be so off base of what you just said, but all good. Anyway, while Brendan's a Googling cattle, 1-888-344-1170, 1-888-344-1170, anything automotive related. As we're doing Auto Talk Radio on the 4th of July, I wonder if people have a lot of big plans. I saw the airport's all screwed up.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Once again. This is a disaster. We can't seem to get under control anymore, huh?
I thought they renovated the airport.
Not San Diego Airport.
Oh, in general. Oh, just general.
Like flight delays all over the place. This week they've been talking about for the holiday weekend. I'm like, geez, man.
I'm not surprised. It's 4th of July weekend, you know? So.
Well, but still, can we get this under control? We had it under control before COVID, and then, well, all right. Maybe we need a new transportation director.
Ooh.
He's not even directing car stuff, so anyway. What cool car stuff's going on this week?
I don't know.
Besides one of our shuttles blowing up.
Yeah.
We own a lot of Kias, so. And this one decided to start burning oil all of a sudden. It's only got 130,000 miles, right? So, like all of our clients, we have car woes also sometimes. So we're trying to deal with. These are supposed to be under an extended warranty, but we're kind of trying to figure that one out right now. So it was very interesting. We were told it's under that class action 150 mileage warranty, right?
Yeah.
Actually, you made the call to find out.
Yeah.
So then took it down to have it looked at. Then we were told it wasn't under that. So I was like, well, okay, well, if it's not under warranty, of course we're going to do it ourselves because our technicians are more qualified anyway. So I bring it back and my parts manager calls about getting an engine for it. And what are we told? Hey, you know that, that motor's under a recall, warranty deal that's going on with it. It's very confusing. Nobody seems to know what the heck's going on or what that. So, and my point to this is you have to definitely fight for yourself when it comes to those kind of things. And we try to do that stuff at the West Automotive Group. Awesome. We've sent so many customers to Kia or Hyundai to get motors replaced, right?
Yeah.
So with issues, these things have, well, the real problem is they eat oil.
Yeah.
And then usually they ended up with a knock sensor code and a knock because why? Because they spin a bearing, right? But the real problem is these things, they ingest oil when they get up over just over 100,000 miles, is it, pretty much?
Well, even the new ones. My new one's starting to go, yeah.
Maybe it's the way you drive it.
I drive nice.
Drive nice.
64 miles per hour.
How many miles are on that Kia now?
6,000.
And it's burning oil?
Yeah, just not a lot.
Did you change the oil at 5,000 like we're supposed
yeah.
to?
Yeah.
Don't lie to me.
Jeez, man. I check the oil.
Okay.
Once a week.
It's due for an oil change. So.
It just got one at West Miramar Automotive.
Oh, it did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it did get it at 5,000 then, roughly.
It got
it 52
5,700
or whatever. But still, that's my point. It's yeah. close. Fine. So just need to keep an eye on the oil level on yeah. those. They do tend to burn oil. Kias, Hyundais, same issue. So what is that they say? But how low was it?
It was only quart low when we did the oil change.
Okay. Well, you know, manufacturers, they say a quart a 1,000 miles isn't a problem. That's a lot of oil. That's a lot of oil.
Maybe because it's breaking in still, I was thinking.
My Ranger don't burn any oil.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been break-in. We'll see. Let's monitor it for the next 5,000 yeah. miles. We'll
see,
figure it out.
See, should have got me that Ford Maverick I wanted.
Now you sound like Zach. That Ford Maverick I wanted. Yeah, Paul was putting orders in for company cars. Yeah. He was just trying to figure out which one he wanted. I was like, oh, here, a new Kia for you. And that's all right. My good friend Dave purchased our old Kia for his daughter to drive to school and that. Just, you know, around town. And I told him, I said, man, although that Kia was doing very well for the mileage it had on it.
Oh, yeah.
227. But I did tell him, I said, this thing does burn oil. That's the one thing it does do. So make sure she checks the oil or you check the oil weekly on this thing.
Yeah.
And it'll keep it out of trouble because they're not making road trips with this thing. She's just in town going. She goes to school and she goes to work. She needed a car to go to school and work.
Yeah,
and
that'd be fine for that.
Oh, it's perfect for that. So I made him a great deal on it and stuff. And, sent them on their way. But when he got in and I said, oh, whoa, I got to get the hamster suit out of the back for you. He's like, I'm not wearing a hamster suit.
That one's still got the upgraded brakes on there too.
Oh yeah. It's got Pure Forge. Forges on. Oh, I forgot about that. But well, he brings all his cars to us for servicing anyway. So we'll be able to figure it out. So I do need to remind him about that. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 FM. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us on this 4th of July weekend. It is 4th of July, right?
Today's the 1st.
Yes, today is the 1st of July. You yeah. are absolutely correct on that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STAR certified, taking care of folks up there in North County Inland for rolling up on 30 years this August. Wow. And West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission out at 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved out there, taking care of folks in East County for over 10 years, along with West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue right in Central San Diego. Taking care of folks over there for over 6 years, AAA approved and SMOG certified. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall, right in the Golden Triangle, AAA approved and STAR certified. Take care of folks over there for going on over 4 years now. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, and my employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We all believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. And we've added a new location, which is West Oceanside Automotive and Transmission, May 1st. So a couple months there in Oceanside, out there at the coast in North County, taking care of folks. Although it was Oceanside Transmission previously, and all the same employees are still there doing the same thing. Great people. So it was a great add-in to the West Automotive Group. They have the same philosophy we do, and that is we never put money ahead of people. So we have five locations to serve you well here in San Diego County for all your vehicle needs. Stop in to have your vehicle service repair and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about for sure. The West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs also, and on approved credit. You can also take advantage of our certified transmission diagnosis, our certified drivability diagnosis, or any other concern that you have. Our master techs will get him diagnosed properly for you and get you answers. And remember, the best money ever spent is in any repair is on a qualified technician to diagnose your vehicle properly. It will save you money in the long run for sure. We see way too many vehicles come in that things have been replaced on it, and expensive things sometimes that did not cure the problem. And then we got to go from there and help folks out as best we can. But the problem is it costs more money then. So let's get it diagnosed properly. Most repairs are one-point repairs, and we get you down the road, and you're a happy camper driving along. But also get in, and we'll get you diagnosed. We offer low-cost rental vehicles at all five locations available through partners that we work with, or shuttle rides to or from work or home. Go to westautomotivegroup.com, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we always send out little tips. That's westautomotivegroup.com. You can also see about all about us. Hopefully in the next week or so, our new website's going to be launched. We're just finishing up. It was time to redo it, so it's been a few years, and I'm putting together a really nice website, very nice and interactive for setting up everything as far as that goes. You can get on there, see all about us, set your appointments, find all kinds of stuff. Really good stuff. So, great. Just check it out, westautomotivegroup.com. You can also check out the Automan segments where I'm the Automan for the CW and Fox 5, or Auto Talk Radio where we put our podcast after, or the live show into podcast afterwards on there. That's westautomotivegroup.com, or you can email me at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. And if you want to pick up the podcast on the go, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and tune in. Just put in 1170 AM. Go to weekend shows, and there you go. Good stuff as far as that goes. So we today are talking about stopping, steering, and the keys to keeping your vehicle safely on the road.
Yeah.
And important stuff, right? All right, let's see what Tony has to say. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. I was wondering what's the reason they don't do break-in periods on engines anymore? You know, like on new cars. They used to drive it for like 500 to 1,000 miles, and they were supposed to change the oil. But now, you know, I bought a new vehicle, and they're just like wait 4,000 or 5,000 miles.
Yeah, so they don't have a lot of break-in wear because the way everything's manufactured, engineered, and built these days, where older days, older vehicles would create some metallic wear in the first 500 miles. That's why they recommended to change the oil. They're not really seeing that so much anymore, and the tolerances and everything are built by just the putting things together. We don't have that. So to be honest with you, but if you wanted to do that to your vehicle, it definitely wouldn't hurt it. I can tell you that. Never hurts to over-service the engine oil.
Well, I know like the new Corvette, it doesn't let you, I think it takes, I forgot how many, it's like 1,000 miles or something, and won't let you redline it.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
until it breaks in. Yeah. But they don't recommend to change the oil at 500 miles.
No. Yeah, I remember that. They used to have the break-in oil.
Yeah. It also sometimes back in the older days, yes, there was different, they had break-in oil, you're right, and they put different things in the oil, like there was added moly to it for the bearings and things like that. So there's a couple different reasons why they don't really do it anymore. It's just not needed.
Then the old cars, they used to have zinc in the oil, was it?
Yeah, which we don't do anymore. That's illegal.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I don't think they put zinc in it anymore at all. They're trying to avoid a lot of these additives anymore in life. So Does that kind of answer your question, Tony?
Well, I have one more question. Sure. So if you have full synthetic oil, do you recommend like every 5,000 miles?
That's what we recommend, is every 5,000 miles, absolutely. Now, some manufacturers recommend longer, but regardless, it is the combustion process that engine's going through. There's blow bypass the rings. You get the acidic levels go up in the oil. You do get some wear and tear contamination in the oil, and it continues to circulate it even though it goes through a filter. So we strongly I strongly recommend in my vehicle I change at 5,000 miles, and I use full synthetic, yes. And
okay, well, all right, thank you.
No problem. Hey, thanks for listening, and have yourself a wonderful, safe 4th of July weekend.
All right, you too.
Thank
you.
Take care. Bye. Bye. So he brings up a good point about something. As far as that goes, with that manufacturer's recommending, you know, longer times. Can you imagine if you didn't change the oil on the Kia for 10,000 miles?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be a it's a terrible idea. So that's where a lot of these vehicle manufacturers are getting in trouble. I don't know. If you love your vehicle, 5,000 miles is a great thing. We only use full synthetic at that West Automotive Group anyway. So, but for all vehicles.
Well, especially like the European cars, when they say 10, 12,000 miles, it comes out like mud.
I know.
So it's if like a brand new BMW that's coming out like sludge. That's not good.
No, if you really want to keep a vehicle and you're going to keep it. Now, I guess if you just did a lease for 50,000 miles, you're going to turn it in. I guess you don't really care, do you? But the next,
poor guy,
the next poor guy that gets his
car, you know, they're going to have problems.
Exactly. So, and I tell you what, a lot of those cars, like I remember for a friend of mine, we did a BMW. That the plastic pieces inside the intake break off and go through the bowels and bend all the valves.
Oh,
remember when those were the five series? What was the 5 series? I think or 3 series.
Intake little runner flap.
Yeah, it would break off and go through the valves. Ding.
Yeah, it would rattle for a little while. You get away with that, but if it's rattling,
you should stop. Yeah, exactly. No, this one rattled, broke, went through the valves, bent every valve in the head.
Yeah,
it was quite the nightmare. So, and I convinced her. I said, "We're fixed this car." And go trade it in and get you something else. She did. She traded it in at once it was fixed and got herself a Honda. So I was like, that's a better choice.
Yeah.
For sure. Especially because she was on a budget. I said, this BMW is not a budget person car.
Yeah.
Especially a used BMW is how she bought it. Yeah.
They're fun to drive, you know, this, that, but, you know,
yeah, I'm not knocking that. But if you don't have the money to maintain it, it's a terrible idea.
Yeah. No, true.
So we always, which is, yeah. So, you know, just because you got a great deal on the car, like an auction or something, doesn't mean that the price is cheaper when you have to go fix it.
Yeah.
It's actually worse. So when you buy some of those cars, the ones especially are like the higher end ones, like a 550 Mercedes, you know, oh, I got it auctioned. Great deal. It's still going to be $2,000 every time you bring that thing in. It's or more.
Oh, yeah.
Because the parts are expensive. The time it takes to do the work's expensive, so it's not a Honda.
Yeah, that's especially the Range Rovers because they drop those so much in value.
Oh,
like 100 something grand new, and then you can buy them now for like $30,000. But brakes on those things are easy, $1,800 for the front brakes alone. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, well, and you have and there's only so many suppliers for them, and I mean, I guess you could probably search around and find some quality offshore stuff from China or something that probably. won't last and will cause you more issues down the road. But all in all, you're right. They're just more to repair.
Yeah.
With any, I mean, Porsches, but those cars are expensive new and they're expensive to keep on the road. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a great car. If you can afford it, buy one. It's fine. But if you can't afford it, it's always a bad idea to buy one.
It's true.
So if you think you're going to work out a budget for repairs on those cars, budget don't go far. What were you just talking about? Were you talking to M5 oil pump or something?
Yeah.
M5. How much is it to replace one of those?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's probably 18 to 20 hours to pull it.
Okay. So
the oil pumps, I don't know. I'd probably say $600-$700 or something.
Okay.
All the gaskets and all that. So it's a few dollars.
What, $5,000 repair maybe by the time you get done?
Probably.
Four?
Yeah, no, probably. Four. With all the other things it'll probably need when you get in there.
Yeah, by the time you're done, maybe $6,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that can become quite pricey. Repairs can in that direction with those vehicles. So, and obviously, like any other vehicle, staying on top of the maintenance actually keeps the cost down in the long-term ownership of the car. But a lot of people skip a lot of the maintenance issues that need to be done because they're expensive, like you said. So, you know, and that, you think that's expensive. They tried to put tires on one of them cars.
Oh, yeah.
it's an on-giving gift.
That really expensive car, the Bugatti Veyron, that's like $2 million. Uh-huh. I think a rim and a tire is like $30,000 or something like that. Someone's telling
me. So don't hit a curb.
don't hit a curb
in that car.
Don't drive it to Target.
Yeah, most people do not own Bugattis, though.
Yeah,
and most people don't get to buy those at auction either.
Yeah.
So if you purchase one of those, you probably can't afford it, I'll be honest. There's probably a wait list. Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Probably be okay. So real quick. All right, let's grab Frank real quick, see what he's got going on. What's happening, Frank?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm out walking here down in Chula Vista. Haven't talked to you guys for a long time.
It's been a while. What you up to?
Well, you know, we talked about the trickle charger on my batteries because I don't drive the truck as much as I used to.
Yes, sir.
So that's working fine. But I was wondering about the bearings in the front.
Okay.
Now, I don't drive like I used to. I got to stop. I was walking up a hill when you guys called. But anyway, I didn't know how often I needed to clean those out and re-grease them.
Well, as far as that goes, more mileage-wise, as long as you know the vehicle hasn't been submerged in water or anything to get water into the grease lasts pretty good. Usually, we recommend on those. I think it's about 30,000 miles or so.
Yeah, what kind of car are we talking about?
Is it four-wheel drive, Frank? I can't remember.
No, it's not. It's a 98 Dodge 250 diesel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have a camper that goes on top of it.
We usually repack those bearings when brakes are done on it.
Yeah, usually.
Because that's a regular kind of cone bearing on that, if I remember right. So
Yeah. Or if there's play or something like that, then but typically just when we do the brakes.
Yeah.
It's where you have noise or something like that.
Yeah. The grease stays for a long time now on those for sure. And as long as there's no seal leaks, the grease isn't leaking out, it's usually good to go.
All righty. One more question for you.
Sure.
How about the differential? Now, I changed that before my last trip, and I only put on maybe 10 or 15,000. Is that because it sits? Does that mean it absorbs the moisture and stuff? Or
nah, it's not like
should that be changed?
Nah, we usually go about 60,000 miles on differential gear oil. So, yeah, it's not really a time thing. It's just a mileage thing. It breaks down because, unlike engine oil, it does not have the combustion process going on. So that was a jet. That was a jet.
It sounded like a jet.
but yeah. So anyway, we don't. You don't just go by mileage. 60,000 is fine on that.
Yeah. Well, listen. I sure as hell enjoyed listening to you guys.
Well,
and my condolences on Kevin. You know, I'm really sorry about that. You know, I had a chance to meet him several times when I was up to see you guys.
Yeah. Thank
Once
you
when
so
he was
much.
On my truck, and the other time when he was. Taking care of my wife's car.
Gotcha.
So, listen, thank you very much, and you guys have a happy 4th.
You too, Frank. You too. Take care. Good talking to you. Be safe out there.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Always a great guy to talk to, for sure. All right, folks, we're going to take our last break here. 1-888-344-1170, 888-344-1170. Hang on, Bodie. We'll grab you as soon as we come back. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
Yep, 888-344-1170. Auto Talk Live. Jump in, jump on. Brendan's over there waiting to answer the phone. You're looking extremely happy this morning.
I am extremely happy. I'm about a month away from my baby being delivered, so can't be happier right now.
How much time you taking off of that?
Probably 2 weeks, I'm assuming, so
wow.
I can help my wife a little bit. So 2 weeks without me, I don't know how you guys are going to survive.
You're a super nice guy.
I know.
Are you taking your job off during the week, too?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they'll have paternity leave for me for like 4 months or something like that, which is really nice too.
Oh, your job's giving you 4 months off?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
That's nice.
Interesting.
I'll still be coming over here on the weekends. <though. Okay. laughs>
Did they pay you for 4 months?
Yeah.
What? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting.
Some places are pretty nice with this stuff, I'll tell you what. So I need 4 months away from that weekday job, let me tell you.
If I had to pay everybody that had a baby that works for me for 4 months, financially, it would be very difficult.
Yeah.
To just pay somebody to be off work for 4 months.
Well, I work for...
But to everybody, I ask because I have an employee whose wife's having a baby and he started his paternity leave Friday, and he's taking 6 weeks off. He doesn't get paid by us, but there is a thing where you can file and it goes through like a... I think it's unemployment for that, and he gets paid that way.
But it's not
as much money as he makes actually working.
But they have a paid version for this because it's a government kind of funded thing that I'm doing
for
a weekday job. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gotcha.
So
you work for a company that's government funded. They're under the government contract.
Correct.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So it goes, yeah. Makes sense. I get you. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, we're all excited about you having a baby, too.
Thank you so much.
Well, not you having a baby. We're all excited about you becoming a father. I should say it that way.
Thank you. Today's the day I get to finally put the car seat in for sure now. So.
Oh, do you know how to do it?
No, I have no clue. And looking at videos on like how much dads struggle in the first place with car seats.
To put in.
Some of them are.
Wish me luck today, guys. And callers out there, wish me luck as well.
Are you going to practice today? Is that what you're doing?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Well, you know what? That's actually a great point. So before you have to actually do it with a baby, the baby's not here yet, it's good to get familiar with it and practice. I agree
absolutely,
with you.
Absolutely.
We show people how to install those all the time. So if you need help, Brendan, you just let me know. I'll come over and help you put it in.
Okay. I saw another video where like one dad was like, he only had to press one button in order to put his stroller, like collapse his stroller. And then the next part is another dad. He's like shaking. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it here. Forget it. That's going to be me probably.
We can have some drills. You can hold the sandbag one hand and then you have to put the car seat in the other.
So Ryan has to stop. Go.
Yeah, go.
10 seconds shorter.
We got to work on that.
You can always practice, man. Practice makes perfect. All right, folks, as we're helping Brendan become a new father with all the car things he needs, we're going to continue on and make sure that his little bambino is going to be safe and strapped in well. So you can buy your child a helmet.
Of course I am. I don't trust myself with
Yeah, the first one is jitters. The second one is just like, oh, let him eat dirt. That's fine. Oh, don't kill anybody. Don't hurt anybody. It's all good. Anyway, I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, battery for every need for sure. We only stock Interstate Batteries for one simple reason. They are the highest quality battery out there and the number one technician recommended battery worldwide. If you need a battery for your vehicle, jump on westautomotivegroup.com, make an appointment, we'll get you an Interstate installed. You need a battery for any other reason, check them out at their storefronts because I'm telling you, they have a battery for every need. You can check them out at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University Avenue. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. All right, let's see what Mr. Bodie's up to. What are you up to, Mr. Bodie?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's happening, sir?
Well, question for you. I was at a garage sale, and a guy had some of the Chevron ProGuard fuel injector cleaners.
Yes, sir.
It's a 16-ounce... The guy was selling them for $1 a piece. I said, hey, they're sealed. So, they say one pint of this stuff to 16 gallons of gas. Give or take, it's not going to make much difference, is it, in terms of how many gallons of gas in the ratio?
Well, you don't want to overdo it, but, I mean, do you have to get it exactly perfect? No. So you're asking how many gallons of gas there should be per bottle of that yet, and it said 16 per bottle?
Exactly.
Okay, but if you had like 14 gallons and you put it in there, you'd be just fine. I probably wouldn't put it in there with 2 gallons. That wouldn't be a great idea.
No, that would, hyper-clean it?
I don't know. I always follow the directions, so I don't know what
I don't know if that would, like... break off a bigger piece of carbon that you wouldn't want to break off.
Which could, or overheat the catalyst.
Yeah.
Because that stuff does clean the cat and make it run warm.
That's probably more right, the catalyst.
Yeah. So I would be very careful with that.
Okay. And item number two is my CRV, I mean my Acura, got a flat tire on it.
Well, that's because the air came out.
Hey, I never thought of that. So, it's been sitting for a day and a half, 2 days. Is that going to damage the tire?
Well, I wouldn't leave it like that too long because they could dry rot and do things. But, you know, a day and a half or 2 days is probably not going to hurt it. I would not drive it at all, obviously. But
if it's already an old tire. Then maybe. But
if it's already what?
If it's already an older tire, then it can.
Yes, it can. If it's how old are the tires?
That's a good question. They still got a lot of tread. It's more of a time thing than a mileage thing.
Yeah, well, that's his point. If the sidewalls are sun-aged and things like that, or the tire's pretty old, sitting on a flat like that can cause sidewall cracking and, separations. So you don't want to leave it that way too long, that's for sure. Is it going?
No.
Yeah. It's hard to say, you know, depending on the age and all that, if it's going to hurt it.
Can you tell by taking the car off the rim and looking at it?
They'll know when they go. You take it to have it patched. They'll tell you if the tire is coming apart because they'll be able to tell when they dismount it.
Right.
And if it is, then it's time to buy another tire.
Oh yeah.
And you can normally see there'll be little cracks on the sidewall and stuff.
Yeah. You could probably go look at the sidewall right now and take a good look at it. If it's starting to have these little cracks and things like that, then it's aged and it's probably going to need to be replaced.
Replaced. And then my CRV, 1999 CRV, earlier in the show you were talking about repacking wheel bearings. Is that a sealed bearing in there?
Yeah, that one has hub sealed bearings. Yeah, you can't repack those. They are good until they need replaced.
Right. And then they start to whine.
Yep, whine or grind or growl. Yeah, usually growl. Usually, yeah.
So here's a, I don't know if I ever told you guys this. My brother and I were driving from Buffalo, New York. We're going to San Jose.
Uh-huh.
And so we stopped somewhere in Nevada, and I said to the gas station guy, I said, hey, how far is it to San Jose?
San Jose.
I looked at me, and he goes, San Jose? He goes, what's that? I said, well, I said, I'm going to visit our sister in California. And the guy goes, I never heard of that town. And she said, oh, it's a big town here, San Francisco. The guy goes, you got anything written down?
Uh-huh.
And I went, I went to the car and got an envelope. And the guy looked at it and kind of snickered. And he goes, oh, he said, that's San Jose.
Mm-hmm. San Jose.
I went, oh, okay. So he said, hey, can I give you a tip? And I said, what's that? He said, when you're in California and you see a city name with a J, he said, pronounce it like an H.
Yeah.
So my brother and I look at each other like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. And then he said, how long are you going to be in California? And I said, Hune or Hulai?
Hune or Hulai. Yeah.
Hune or Hulai.
There you go, Brandon. That's a good one. But that does make sense. I showed up here in the Navy, and we had El Cajun in East County.
El Cajun, right.
And La Jolla over on the coast.
La Jolla?
Yeah.
So, exactly.
You know, when you come from the Midwest, H's and J's are pronounced a little different than they are here. Versus La Jolla and El Cajon, anyway.
Yeah. It was Vienta Valley when I first moved in.
Where?
I was renting a room in Del Mar when I first moved here.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling my friend, where do you live? Oh, I live off Vieta Valley.
There you go. All right, Bodie. Right. Have a wonderful, safe 4th of July weekend, my friend.
Same with you all. Ciao.
You take care. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Always great stuff to throw in there. Good stuff for sure. Anyway. My dad said he's having everybody tune into our program for an updated cattle report because Brendan's looking for his cattle saying. Where's your cattle saying?
The actual saying I was looking up was that cows cannot walk down the stairs on their own. You have to force them to walk. And I remember that's just relating to how little children are usually. You can't, you have to force them in order to do, like, you know, eat your vegetables and things of that nature. You can't just make them, just put it in front of them and say, yep, you're going to do it at some point. So
still confused on what this has to do with a cow going upstairs and downstairs.
Well, it could be like lower beef, like McDonald's beef or something like that, you know? Yeah. We'll make it work.
I also heard that if a cow lays down, that's rumored that rain is coming.
That is a thing in yes, that they talk about, farmers talk about, that if the cows are laying down, then rain's coming.
I don't believe it personally. I've seen too many cows lay down. I'm like, it's just cloudy.
And it didn't rain? Well, but they thought it was going to rain. That's why they saw the clouds. They're like, lay down. Everybody lay down.
I had never heard of that. I didn't know that.
I'll say this. The cows have more accuracy than our meteorologists around here.
Probably true. And you just offended every meteorologist.
I'm going to get somebody angry. How dare you?
Exactly. What are you saying? We're not good at our job?
I don't care whether or not you get it.
Da-da-da.
Da-da-da.
Good job.
I won't do a comedy punchline for me.
Yeah, no comedy punchline?
Okay, I'll do one.
There you go. Always good stuff. Yeah, very interesting.
One last thing. Flying cars are now approved.
What?
Yeah, the flying cars got approved by the FAA. So now we had just got to wait for the National Highway whatever.
See, I don't see any accidents happening this way at all.
You could pre-order it, your car now. It's a Model A flying car.
So what? Will you have to call the FAA whenever your car crashes into another flying car? Is it an aircraft incident or a car incident?
I'm very interested to see if USAA will even take my insurance.
Or those air traffic controller guys. Those guys are already really busy. Yeah. Now there's cars. They're like, I quit. Forget it.
Yeah, no lie, huh? Boy. That could cause a lot of issues.
But it would be fun for your mechanics to try to work on one of those cars at some point, I bet. You know? Because now you not only...
Just be like an airplane.
I know. I was just going to say, not only is it a car, but you have to learn about airplane parts, too. And you're like, okay, well, then...
I wonder if you can make it hover while you work on it. You won't need a hoist anymore.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's true. That's not bad.
Just look out for the fan blades.
It's kind of like trying to work on an engine while it's running, huh?
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
Are you good at dodgeball?
Yeah. Yeah. Wonder if they'll run on electric. They going to be EV flying cars?
I don't trust. You know what? I have friends that barely trust airplanes in the first place. I doubt they're going to trust an EV.
An electric
airplane,
flying car. Well, I'm just curious because I was watching totally laughing at this stuff that we just, you know, you, as you all know, in 2034, 35, in that area, everything's supposed to be only electric being sold from several states, right? And they're just talking about, oh, there's a heat wave going on, man, and all these states are going to lose electricity. And how are you going to charge your car during all this? Once again, we're back to the infrastructure, which, I know we've talked about this several times, but there are no... way that you're going to be able to charge all these vehicles. This is the dumbest thing that I think we've came up with in a long time, and that we keep pushing it. How do you keep pushing a narrative for an electric vehicle? I think electric vehicles have a place, don't get me wrong, a certain percentage of cars. I think it's all great, whatever. But a couple things. Number one, as we know, our infrastructure cannot handle these vehicles, right? Today, where we're at, there's no way. If you got to what you're saying, all these people driving electric vehicles, you're going to crash the grid every day. Won't that be interesting? You know, I don't want you charging your electric vehicle if my AC is not going to work. not doing this. So it's going to be very interesting. What do you think, Brendan?
I think you're right. I think we got a long way to go. I think technology is still far, far away if we want to even see this coming to light.
I think I think we'll be done with the electric vehicle before 2035, to be honest with you.
I hope
we'll have moved on to something else. It'll still be a portion, like 10% of the cars, like whatever. So, things like, it was funny. I saw a Rivian SUV the other day. I haven't seen one in a while. And I was thinking
saw one too.
Boy, actually, getting parts for those bad boys is going to be super fun coming up here because... Is that company bankrupt now?
No, not yet.
Close.
They're close.
They're teetering. They're what we call teetering.
Yeah.
They're going to be a penny stock.
When this recession hits, it's going to hurt that company big time.
Well, they just not. Time. Well, yeah. Well, because they were in with Ford, and then Ford pulled out and went and did their own thing.
Well, not only that, but they had all these other companies like Amazon and Waste Management and all that stuff. They were saying, oh, we're going to partner up with this company. And then they pull out saying that Rivian was asking for way too much money from them in order to keep the partnership going. So they lost those partnerships.
So they have no partnerships anymore.
Exactly. They're now completely independent, and now they have to rely on their own little
struggling.
Yeah.
But I wonder if
this
like,
is why Tesla works, because at least you have some separate businesses to kind of help out.
Well, not only that,
the solar and all that stuff.
Tesla initially had a lot of government funding, mm-hmm. and that's how they started. That was the partner in that. So they had a lot of government funding until his company got up and started making money. So that's, whereas I don't think Rivian has government funding. They're not funding EVs.
No, they're all privately funded too. Correct. As well. Yeah, yeah. So
that's where you end up with these kind of problems, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there you go. My two cents were, right now while it's hot over the weekend, don't be charging your car. We want our AC to keep working.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. I'd rather be cool at home than you driving your electric car. So anyway,
but electric hater over here.
No, I'm not. But you know, there are some people, like my neighbors have two Teslas. Ron, my buddy, has a all electric Mercedes. But they also, all those people have solar and they only charge them at home. So
yeah,
I mean, which is fine, and I get that, and that'll work. But in all seriousness, these people are homeowners. How do you charge these things effectively and save money if you live in a condo?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you going to have your own charger put in? No. Is there going to be a bunch of chargers you got to share with? Is it going to look like Barstow when everybody in electric vehicles is trying to go to Vegas and there's a line of 700 people waiting to charge on these six stations?
I was going to let you know that my apartment complex added 9 more chargers, and we've actually had more power outages as of late. Over where we are at.
You
too.
Think?
So, yeah. We're having like.
Are they used regularly? Is there always cars parked in them?
No, not. I would say there's 4 separate 3 stations in the entire apartment complex. 1 car is there at all times when I pass by.
That's it.
There's 2 empty ones there all the time.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then I also went to a city council meeting.
You have to pay for those, though. Those don't belong to the tenants, mm-hmm. they're not free.
Right. And I also went to a city council meeting for a city here in San Diego, and they mentioned how they don't even have a maintenance person to check on these chargers.
No.
They're in the middle of a contract dispute with the maintenance people because they're wanting more money and stuff. But even then, that just tells me that you're not even checking up on this, and you're just taking the federal government's grant money towards yourself to help fund some other projects inside, which is not cool because
of electrical vehicle stuff, whether it be the charging stations, the grid stuff, that then we put the cart before the horse. There's no question about it. They like came up with these ideas, great, like, oh yeah, we'll figure that out later, which is the dumbest way to do anything.
That's not really good either. No maintenance for high voltage cabling going in your car.
Cool.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
it's raining. I'm not gonna go get my car.
Well, there's half of them like at North County Fair Mall. They can't even be used yet. They're not even turned on. They're all installed. They're just sitting there, probably because of that reason right there. There's nobody to maintain them or do anything with them. Mm-hmm. So now they just take up a bunch of room, and you can't even park there, and they won't work to charge a car.
But again, yeah. And our government just looking at it saying, oh, well, at least you installed it, so we'll still give you some grant money in order to...
Well, I'm sure that was all paid for, yes, by the installation, all that was grant money.
Yeah, I know. So it's just kind of disappointing, and... you know, like I said, our technology is a long ways from making this actually work. I agree with you too. If you wish to own one, go for it. I say, you know what, try it out, a new experience, and see if you really do enjoy it. Otherwise, I'm personally going to stick with a hybrid or my wonderful Nissan Rogue, which I have no issues with so
far. It's a beautiful car you have there, Brandon.
Thank you.
Beautiful car.
I like those new rims. I checked them out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you liked it then?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Them. Good.
Yeah. Dodge pickup.
No, his rims.
My rims.
Oh, rims.
Yeah.
I didn't even. I forgot to look.
Yeah, I noticed today.
Oh, you did.
I did.
You noticed the bling bling on. Well, it was the only other car in the parking lot since the garden, yeah. Garden guys were recorded today. Yeah.
So I can ask your opinion about it now. Do you think it was a good idea to get those wheels then, or honestly? should I have stuck with the steel ones then?
I mean, I think they look good. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know the. Yeah, I don't know the.
I'm talking like mechanically, speaking in a mechanic term. Were those wheels necessary to get, or should I have stuck with the steel ones then?
There's nothing, there's nothing necessary about those, except for you had to replace a rim, so you bought a whole set, and you just blinged your car up a little bit.
Okay.
If you appreciate the ride, I mean, you had to replace one rim anyway, right? It was bent or cracked or whatever.
Sure. Have you noticed your miles difference?
Again, he said it was very minimum, and I can tell it was very minimum.
So you've noticed no mileage difference?
If there is, again, very minimum. Two. Now, what I will say, it feels lighter. For sure.
The car feels lighter.
Oh, yes.
Faster. Sure.
Yes.
Quicker.
Oh, yes. Everything that you're saying, yes, yes. I absolutely see that.
Straight through it through.
I used to have to maybe...
Placebo rims.
Exactly. I had to use like maybe like three toes or something like that to push down on the gas. Literally, I have to use my big toe to push down.
So and you're saying put the accelerator pedal,
I know.
Which is electric and it's not hooked to anything,
is that
easier
right?
to push
it feels like before. I swear, it feels much lighter. I'm telling you, it's quite interesting.
All right, we're going to go with that thought, Brendan. San Diego and everybody else out there, thank you for joining us. Keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up this 4th of July. Make it an amazing weekend. Be safe out there. Be courteous of other folks on the road for sure. And check your oil before you go on that road trip and your coolant. Do it when the car's cold, not hot. You'll get burned. It won't be good. Be safe, San Diego and everybody. This is Auto Talk Radio. We'll be back next Saturday.
Tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com. And click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.